139 this morning. Psalm 139. Brother Taylor didn't know whether he'd be back or not, so he asked me to be ready. Whatever. So if he didn't make it back, maybe he'll be out tonight, so you'd be praying for him as he'd be on the road. This is Velma's favorite psalm. I don't know how many of you could happen to be your favorite psalm, but I know it's Velma's because she's had me read it to her enough times. We've fellowshipped over this psalm several times in the Word. Every time I read it or she asked me to read it, or she'd say, you know, I really like that psalm. Really like that psalm. Well, it's one of my favorites also. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I want to just read through the entire psalm. And you follow me as I read. And I want you to just look at the beauty, what there is there for us. It's one of the, I think, most far-reaching portions in the Word of God. David is brought to a real knowledge of his relationship with God. May God give us a little wisdom today of our relationship with Him. Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, that's just absolutely beautiful. One day this week, as I was reading, I just couldn't get any place else. All I could do was stay in Psalm 139, go over it, over it, over it. And I read that psalm one day, and I just kept reading it one day, and that was the only thing I could read. The Lord just wouldn't let me go, or else my soul or my spirit wouldn't let me go anywhere else in the Word of God but Psalm 139. And then on another day during the week, the Lord brought me back to Psalm 139. And it's been a precious thing to me. I don't know that I'll be able to bring anything out that'll bless your heart at all, but it blessed me. And I hope that you get something from it. Because you see, this is a psalm of a man that knew God's heart, and whose heart was like God's heart. The Bible says about David that he had a heart like the Lord's, and that the Lord loved him because of what was in his heart. David was a great sinner. But oh, and I'll tell you, that's what the world looks at about David. He's a great king, and he's a great sinner. But I want you to know something. There was more to David than sin. Man, there was a life, and there was character. There was a life that loved God. There was a life that when he was rebuked for sin, he didn't put the prophet in the jail or drop him down in the pit. He exalted the prophet and repented of his sins. That's what he did. David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. And you know, if you look at three things, really, I guess there are four. I sort of, the more I looked at it, the more it divided itself to me to about four words, I think, that I would divide it for you. The word mine, the word thy, and the word praise, and then prayer. You ever thought about what you are in God's sight and how God sees you? Look at the my's in this chapter. Thou's known me, verse 1. Verse 2, my down sitting, mine uprising, my thought afar off. Verse 3, my path, my lying down, my ways. Verse 4, my word. Verse 8, my bed. Verse 13, my reins, my mother's womb. Verse 14, my soul. Verse 16, my members. What's left out? Is there anything left out? The very first verse said, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. The knowledge of God in relation to you or me on any given day, in any circumstance, is absolutely complete. Absolutely complete. There's not a thing about you that God didn't already know before He ever formed you. There's not a thing about you that you can do this day, last week, tomorrow, in the dark, in the light, no matter where you may be, no matter how far you may run. But when God sees it all together, knows it, knows the act, knows the motive behind the act. There's not a thing hidden from God Almighty. God sees everything about me. And according to the testimony of the Word, He loves me. That's something. That's the love of God. That's grace. That's grace. What you are is what you are in the dark. What you are is what you are under pressure. That's what you are. And God sees you. Every bit of it. God sees there's not a thing left out. Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You know, God doesn't have to search us to find out what we are. He knows it altogether. Why does God search us then? Why does God search us? That we might know what we are. I believe that. I don't believe God is searching me today, or God has been searching me this week, or God is searching you this day or this week because He doesn't know what He's going to find. I believe with all my heart, as the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the circumstances of your life come about, they come about that you might know what you are. And that you might know how God sees you. And that you might know God's knowledge of you, how infinite, how complete it is. Well, that's very humbling. That's very humbling. Look at it. Thou hast known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, mine uprising, thou understandest my thought afar off. Oh, my. My down sitting. You know, every time you sat down this week, God knew it, saw it. Every time you rose up this week, God knew it, and God saw it. Anything so minor as just every time you sat down and where you sat down and who you sat down with, the reason you sat down, God saw it, God knew it, God was there. That's fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic. In fact, he says, this knowledge is too wonderful for me. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain unto it, David says. It's high, I cannot attain unto it. Oh, but look at verse 3. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, are acquainted with all my ways. What was your path this week? Well, some of us had a path maybe all the way from California. Some of us had a path all the way from Washington State. Some of us had a path just down to the village grocery or something. Maybe some of us had a path within around 5 or 6 or 7 rooms. Oh, we had such different paths, but you know that there wasn't a thing about your path that was ever hidden from God. God knew it all. You didn't take a step this week. You have not made a decision. Every thought of your heart, that which you loved and held to you, that which you rejected and put aside, God knew it altogether afar off. Not a single thought ever passed over the corners of your mind, the Lord God Almighty saw it altogether. Every thought. Such wall of knowledge is too wonderful for me. Ever thought how to talk to God? Well, you don't have to get on your knees in the church building to talk to God. He knows your thoughts afar off. You know, you think about it. A student can hide from a teacher, whether or not he studied or not, just depending on his ability. You can hide from a preacher how you live. You can hide from your boss the results of your work. You can hide from your husband or from your wife or your closest friend some of the deepest secrets of your soul. But with God, there's nothing hidden. Not one thing. Not even the thoughts that came to your mind. Not even the very, very thoughts that came to your mind this week. What's been in your mind this week? What has been in your mind this week? God knows it. Is that embarrassing? I imagine it would be. If God knows your thoughts, you know, we sort of get the idea that my thoughts are my own and I'm all by myself in my thoughts. But David, as he comes to think about God and think upon God, he understands that even his very thoughts are known by God a very far off. Oh, God knows my thoughts. God knows my heart. God knows your heart. My past. Oh, my past. My lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. You know, most of us are filled with our past and our ways. And our path and our ways so often is so far from God's path and God's ways. And you know, God knows your ways. God was with you in every way that you took this week. My path and my ways. Verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Not a word in my tongue. The Bible says if you can bridle your tongue, you're a perfect man. There are probably not any perfect men inside this room today. The very best of men are sinners with their tongue. The Bible calls it a world of iniquity. Said it's set on fire of hell. But the poison of asp is under the tongue. It says, great things of the world have been tamed, and yet no man's tamed the tongue. Because what the tongue does is speak the heart, and to tame the tongue, you must tame the heart. And since God knows the heart as well as the tongue, He knows everything about every word. Solomon said, speak not a word against the king, even in your bedchamber, for a little bird will carry it and take it. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. My, I think of the words that I've given that I wish I could take back. I think of all the things that I've said, all the things that I've done. I've gotten through preaching sometime, walked down and said, oh, if I would have said that differently. I was telling some of the young people about witnessing. I've been in so many homes. There are a few times that I've been so discouraged about some of the things I've done, I said, I think I'll quit witnessing. I think I'll quit going into homes. But I walked out of the home and said, oh my, if I just hadn't said that. But I just said it another way. Lord, He knew it all together. God knew what I was going to say before He ever let me into that home. God knew the mistakes I was going to make. God knew my thought afar off and the word within my tongue. Every word that comes on the back of your tongue, God knows it before it ever comes out. I want you to think how many people there are in the world today. There are over 4 billion people. You ever realize how many that is? And you can take this psalm personal today. I mean personal. The absolute vastness of God's knowledge today ought to make us walk with a sense of security like no people in the world who do not have our faith could have. God is everywhere. And God is absolutely all-knowing. Not one thing ever, not even the words, not even the thoughts or the intents of our heart. Oh, Lord God knows it all together. He knows the thought and the purpose behind the thought. He knows the word that's on the back of the tongue. He knows the word that comes out. He knows the result of that word before it's ever spoken. Thou knowest it all together. Have you ever felt what verse 5 teaches? Oh, I've been there. Now, I don't know how long the Lord has dealt with you or how much He's dealt with you, but I thank God He's still dealing with me. God hasn't quit dealing with me yet. I talked to a man that had been a great man of God. God had richly blessed his life. And in his older life, he said, God is still dealing with me. Praise God. I feel for you today if God has ceased to deal with you. God's still dealing with me. Look at verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand on me. Amen. God's behind me. And God's before me. And God surrounds me. And He's laid His hand upon me. Has He done it to you? Yes, He has. By the grace of God, God has laid His hand upon you. You can claim that which David claimed. You can feel that which David felt. You can rest in that absolute security of being in the hands of God. Years ago when I used to preach on the three circles as far as eternal security and evangelism. Somebody said, can I lose my soul? Can I lose my soul? I said, no, you can't lose your soul. First of all, the Bible tells me that I'm in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in me. That's the earnest of my eternal redemption. That's the down payment. He's in me, so I'm in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm in His hands. And then Jesus said He was in the Father's hands. For the devil to get in there to me, he's got to come inside God, inside Jesus, inside the Holy Spirit. If he ever got in there, he'd get saved and everybody would want out. Now, I understand that's a little wrong doctrine because the devil's not going to get saved and couldn't get saved if he wanted to. But, where are you? I'm compassed about by God. Understand me, there are no accidents. There are only circumstances. There are no accidents to a believer. There are only circumstances. They may look like accidents to you. They may look like even evil to you. They may look like the very worst thing that could ever happen to you, but there are no accidents to God's child. Everything is but a circumstance with the one with whom we have to do, who besets us behind and before and compasses us about, completely encloses us in His perfect knowledge, in His perfect love, His perfect power. Lay thine hand upon me. You talk about the personal presence of God Almighty. Has God laid His hand upon you? What a blessing. To know that little old insignificant me, 1 out of 4 or 5 billion people that live on this crowded globe, God loves me. God has laid His hand directly, specifically upon me. And God is working in my life to bring out of me something that will bring glory to His name, to bring gold, silver, precious stones, to make a jewel out of me. He's got to put me in the fire. Circumstances beset me behind and before. How many times have you been there? I don't know your life, I know mine. Many a time I've been in circumstances where there was no way out except to run, and I refused to run. I've got enough sense to know. I don't have much sense, but I've got enough sense to know the only place for me is where God has placed me. In the path of duty is the path of blessing. There is no other place. And when God has boxed me or boxed you in, there is a purpose. As we read on a little bit further, you're going to find out that even if you run, it won't do any good. Don't make a difference where you run it. You listen to it. I want to deal with this beset me behind and before for just a few minutes. Look at verse 7. Whither shall I flee from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I stand up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? You're just going to have to go to the feet of the Savior. Grab him around the legs and say, Oh Lord, I'm too weak. Lord, I'm helpless. Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. Give me wisdom as to what you do with my life. But, oh Lord, I fall at your feet. Do with me as it pleases thee. Make of me that which will bring a fragrance beautiful to thee. The flower petals have to be crushed to bring forth the fragrance of the perfume. They got to be crushed. And so your life and my life simply must be ground. Ground. You ever wonder why things happen to you, to irritate you, to hurt your feelings, to rub you against somebody maybe that you don't like? Maybe why did God let you marry somebody that's so different to you? Well, God wanted to rub off some rough edges. You're a building block. You're a stone set into a temple. A lot of rough edges. Some of us are rougher than others, and so we get hit a little bit harder. But God has placed us together in circumstances, in the church, in your home, at your work, so that your opinions might be rubbed off. Your likes and your dislikes, your preferences, your will might be cut and rubbed smooth until all that was left was a perfect building stone that fit so close together that even a knife blade could not go between. God has beset me behind, and God has beset me before. God has boxed me in. I am boxed into His will. Oh, beautiful. God's doing something in you. God's doing something in me. What He's doing is not simply for this life. What He's doing is an eternal thing. You see, salvation is not the end. Salvation is but the beginning. Salvation is not the death. Salvation is but the birth. This little 70 years, or by reason of strength, 80 or 90 years that you may walk this globe is but a testing ground. It's but a place of growth. It's but a schoolhouse. It's but an education. It's but a place to expand your soul for God's blessing and God's presence. I tell you what, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain unto it. I said my. Let's look at thy. Okay? Verse 5, thy is talking about God. Thine hand. That's God's hand. Thy hand. Verse 7, thy spirit. Verse 7, thy presence. Verse 10, thy hand. Verse 14, thy works. Verse 16, thine eyes and thy book. Verse 17, thy thoughts. Verse 20, thy name. David had a pretty good knowledge of himself. David had a pretty good knowledge of God. And because David knew God, then David knew himself. The more you know of God, the more you can know of yourself. The less you know of God, the less you know of yourself. The less contact you have with God, the more pride you have in self. The more contact we have with God, the less confidence you'll ever have with himself, and the less pride in self. Because the more you know of God, His Spirit, His presence, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Now, there are times it's good to get away. There are times it's good to get away. Jesus is talking to the disciples one day, and he says, come ye apart and rest a while. It's either come ye apart and rest a while, or come ye apart. Sometimes that's right, isn't it? Come ye apart and rest a while, or just come ye apart, you know? Either get off and rest, or all the springs start popping out. Boom, 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 you know? We need a little rest sometimes. God sends us to the desert sometimes. God sends me fishing, or maybe I send me fishing. I don't always care whether I catch fish or not. I just like to go. There are no telephones down by my camper. And if anybody's got a real bad problem, they got to get a hold of the highway patrol to reach me. It's sort of nice to get away. You know something? You can't get away from God's Spirit. You just can't get away from God's Spirit. You may run from circumstances, you may run from troubles, you may run from problems, and you may step aside out of the battle for a rest, a little R&R down at the coast, or a little R&R out at some friend's house. But I want you to understand something. If it's God that's dealing with you rather than simply circumstances, there is no place to go. There's no place to go. Where am I going to go from your Spirit? The Spirit's everywhere. Everywhere. Whither shall I go from thy Spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? God's there. God has not left you or me to be alone. God has not left us alone at all. You and I are in His presence. You and I are dealt with, indwelt by His Spirit, no matter where we may be. God has not left you alone. I don't care if you're in a snowdrift in the Northeast, God has not left you alone. I don't care if you're sitting in a language school in Guadalajara, Mexico, God has not left you alone. I don't care if you're with 100 orphans in Brazil, God has not left you alone. I don't care if your husband has passed away and your children are gone, God has not left you alone. I don't care if you're an orphan somewhere and you have no mother, no father, no family, God has not left you alone. I don't care if you sit in a communist prison today, God has not left you alone. Not only can you not flee, but no matter where you go, God is with you. Positively and negatively, it doesn't make any difference. Whither shall I go from thy Spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? If God begins to deal in your life, and once you recognize it to be God, once God is shown to you that He's the one dealing in your life, the only place to go is to His feet. There is no other place but to the feet of God. You fall down and say, Lord, do with me as you will. Have your way. I know, Lord, that all things work together for good to them that love thee. And I love thee. So, Lord, do with me as you will. Break me any way you see fit. Take everything I have. I'll hold back nothing from you. But I'll no longer cry, oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I might fly away. I no longer run because I know there's no place I can go from thy spirit or from thy presence. Because if I go to heaven, that's your home. If I make my bed in hell, even God, thou art there. There is no place that I can run from this. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, out in the depths of the ocean, thou art there. Darkness. Oh, you think of the things done in darkness because they think it's hidden. The things that were done last night in this town in darkness because they believe it's hidden, but God was there. God was there, and the darkness was even as the light. The very thoughts of your heart in your very bedchamber, God is there. God is there. Oh, and he says in verse 10, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Look at verse 13 and 14. Thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Make that 13 and 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. I've said it before, I say it again. This certainly has something to do to apply to abortion. If God has possessed my reins and covered me in my mother's womb, then God knew me the moment of conception, not the moment I became a certain size. But let's go beyond that. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which is... Some of you say, I wish I had longer legs. I've thought of that a few times in my life. Oh, I wish I had hair like somebody else. Oh, I wish I had a face like somebody else. Oh, my, if I just had the ability in business as someone else. Oh, if I just had my own business, didn't have to work for somebody. Oh, we think of all of the things that we want to think about. If I had the strength of someone, or if I had the wisdom or the intelligence or the opportunity somebody else had. Oh, no, my friend, you are peculiar. You are special to God Almighty. He knew you. He formed you. You are what God has made. God did it for a purpose. Maybe not one you can see. Maybe not one you will ever see. But you are God's. You are God's peculiar treasure. You are God's instrument. You are God's handiwork. And you are even God's blessing. And God has gifted you. God has not left you alone, but He's laid His hand upon you. Even from before your mother's womb, in the deepest parts of the earth, and in your mother's womb, has God formed you into a being, whatever your being may be. No matter what your restrictions or afflictions, my, what a complaining bunch we must be before God, continually straining against our circumstances, continually complaining against the things that happen within our life. What critics of God we must be. You ever thought what a critic you are? Listen to yourself just about the weather, if nothing else. Just listen to yourself about the weather. There's nothing else. You'll find out what a critical spirit you have. Listen to you about yourself. That's a humbling experience. Ought to make us repent. To think what critics we are of what God has done with us. My. Good friend of mine, Dale West, one time was arguing with his daddy about the way the daddy was correcting the younger child. And Dale was saying, "Boy, when I raise my kids, I'm not going to raise them like that." His daddy said, "Well, son," said, "I sure hope you do a better job with yours than I did with you." Woo! He said, "Man, from that day to this," said, "oh, you talk about a cut down, that opened my eyes to something. I was criticizing myself. I criticized my father's raising of me. I was criticizing what I was myself." He said, "Oh," said, "I didn't step into that one too many times after that." You ever thought about how you criticize God about the way you're made? About the circumstances of life? About the hard time you've had? Every once in a while I get to feeling sorry for myself. We all do, don't we? Anybody here doesn't feel sorry for themselves? Raise your hand, liar. Oh, we aren't a liar today. Just won't know if anybody here. Oh, we all get the feeling sorry for ourselves sometimes, don't we? Just start counting your blessings. Just start counting your blessings. You don't have anything to feel sorry for yourself about. I don't care what you've got. You don't have anything to feel sorry for yourself about. Count your blessings. Well, his hand. Look at his works, verse 14. His works. Marvelous are thy works. You ever thought of what God has done? God spoke this world into existence and hung it up on nothing. God sent laws out in the vastness of the universe that holds everything together. So much so the scientists do not understand how those stars stay in their same place. They reach out with the furthest telescopes and they build bigger telescopes. Different kinds of telescopes, and what do they find but more stars? Not one star is any bigger than it ever was. They're just more of them. You can take your binoculars, or you can take your telescope, and you can make the planets larger, and you can see a little more of them. You can make the moon and the sun come up a little closer and see a little more of it, but you can't make one star any bigger in the heavens, not a single one. The vastness of the universe as it's stretched out there. How big is God? How big is this universe? I don't know. But He spoke into existence, and I know the greatest minds of men and the greatest technology of man has never yet reached its end. And what they've reached is so far, so vast, that it staggers the imagination. There are very few agnostic or atheistic astronomers. Very few. There's some of them start that way, but there are very few stay that way. It's just too big. It's just too big. I didn't say there weren't any. I said very few. What about His works in salvation? You know, when it all comes down to the nitty gritty, why did God love you? Why would He ever put a moment's notice in upon you? Why would He ever take notice of you any more than an ant crawling upon the ground or a virus that cannot even be seen? But God in His works has seen fit to save mankind. He didn't see fit to save angels. Angels cannot be saved. Jesus didn't die in the place of angels. There is no salvation for angels. I'm sorry. God sent His Son to accomplish one work, a work of salvation, to make a new race of beings welcome to Himself, He being the firstborn of a new creation. God in man. Oh, He did it all by grace, and He did it all by love, and He did it all by His own power. And when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of God, expectantly that enemy be made His footstool. Finished, the sum of all things was complete. And salvation was forever, forever settled in heaven. Ah, His wonderful works. And then to think that God in His wonderful works could love you and could love me and could do such a work within our lives, so much so that I could know God. I've never seen God at any time, but I can know God. You can look at the world. You can look at 1,000 things. You can look at knowledge where man could study. You know, most kids as they're growing up, they get too much knowledge too quick. They get tired of it very quickly. They, they're pushed and they're shoved. And a lot of people never want to learn another thing as long as they live, it seems like. And I was about that way till after I got to going to college, and the more I went, the more I liked it. I could spend my life studying. I enjoy it. There's some things I would love to learn right now. I just don't have time to learn all the things I'd like to learn. There's some other things more important. I tell you, God's made some things wonderful. God has set enough things out here to hold your mind and your interest throughout the endless ages of eternity on nothing but this one little globe if you never touched anything out, John. It's absolutely marvelous what God has done. And as the scientists come up with this new thing or some other discovery comes about, God's works are wonderful. When you look at the vastness of the universe or the world within a drop of water, God's works are absolutely wonderful. His works bring Him praise. David said that, "My soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes, God's eyes, behold the world." And my Bible says His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for a man whose heart is right towards Him. God's looking for somebody who has a right heart. I know you think that God should have already found you. But I'm sure with His searching eye, He could have. If your heart was that right, God would have found you. You see, God's looking. It's not that you and I are looking how we might serve God. God's looking for someone who wants to serve Him. And I promise you, if you're one who wants to serve Him, God has already found you. And God will find you. His eyes. His eyes beheld things before they were ever made. His book. Praise God for His book. I don't know about you, but I like this book. Praise God. Seven seal book. Praise His name. It's perfect. It's perfect. I love it. God's got other books. In thy book all my members were written, which continues for fashion, when as yet there was none of them. Look at verse 17, thy thoughts. Ever thought about God thinking? God thinks. How much time do you spend thinking? I know that there's some people that think more than others. And I get accused of being absent-minded because I'll be riding down the road and I'm in a different world from those around me. And I'm sorry, I apologize for that sometimes. But I love to think. I really do. And you know, I can sometimes think and just go on with things and they'll bring me a great deal of joy. But God thinks. I mean, it's just not like that everything's off. God is thinking, meditating about you. Thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more than number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. How great is the sum of them. Thy thoughts unto me. There's not a daddy here but doesn't think about his children. There's not a mother here that doesn't think about her children. There's not a husband here that doesn't think about his wife. There's not a wife here that doesn't think about her husband. There's not a friend here that really doesn't think about a friend. And there's not anyone here that's ever been connected with God that doesn't at some time think about God. But oh, I want you to just see how God, who has 4 billion people to deal with, thinks about you. How vast are those thoughts God has about you? Look at it. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they're more number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Oh, His thoughts, the Word of God, is precious to me. Yes, but oh, my friend, His thoughts are also unto me. God thinks of me. Verse 20 says, thy name. Thy name. Solomon said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. My Bible says me that tells me there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My Bible tells me that the greatest name in all the world is Jesus Christ the Lord. My Bible tells me that every person that calls upon that name
name at this time shall be saved. For in that name is the salvation that God has wrought for man. My Bible also tells me that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ah, that name, God's name, beautiful. Jesus. You ought to say His name more often. You ought to call upon Him in praise. You ought to simply worship with that name, Jesus. How sweet the name. Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus, coming Prince. Jesus, Son of God. Jesus, Savior, only Savior. Jesus, blessed Jesus. Precious name. Thine enemies take thy name in vain. Oh, how many times you heard the name of Jesus, the name of God, upon the lips of ungodly people. And what a tragedy it is that though we're not ignorant of His devices, we're still vulnerable to His attacks that even the saved so many times take the name of Jesus in vain. The Bible says you're not holding guiltless, takes His name in vain. Well, let me deal with praise. I've only got a few minutes. Verse 6 and verse 14 and verse 17. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. God's knowledge in dealing with me is wonderful, the psalmist describes. Absolutely wonderful. It fills me full of wonder. That's wonderful. If it's wonderful, it fills me full of wonder. Absolutely wonderful. The thought of God dealing with me, every part of my being, encompassed and enclosed up to God. God knowing my every thought, my path, my down sitting, my uprising. Not one thing ever happened out of God's presence. But what He knows, there is no place for me to go. There is no place for me to hide. There isn't one place for me to fall when God has beset me behind and before. And that's what He sees. Asking mercy of a loving God. And in verse 14, I will praise Thee. I will praise Thee. Praise You, Lord Jesus. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'll tell you what. Beautiful. Beautiful. I have been made in the image of God. I have been made to live for eternity. I have been made to be the temple of the living God. I have been made like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been made by God for God. I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. I will praise Thee. I will praise Thee. Verse 17, how precious also are Thy thoughts unto me. Are God's thoughts precious unto you? What a tragedy that so many days they are not precious unto us. Oh, but His Word, His thoughts, the mind of God is here revealed. How precious are they to you? How precious. How about the thoughts God has toward you? How precious are God's thoughts toward you and toward me? God hasn't left us alone. God has not ignored us. God has not cast us aside. But oh, how precious are Thy thoughts unto me. Praise God for the thoughts that God leads and thinks and brings to us. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Praise God for His dealing with me. Praise God for His working with me. Praise God for His thinking of me. But there's a prayer in verses 23 and 24. He says, search me, try me, lead me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. As I said before, from the very knowledge that's given to us in this absolutely beautiful psalm, God does not have to search us for Him to know what's within us. He knows that at the end and the beginning. But God searches us that we might know what's within us. God searches my soul. God searches my mind. God searches the depths of my heart and the very thoughts and intents of my being. God searches me that I might know me. What has God revealed to you about yourself this week? Were you listening? Were you listening? Every circumstance this week, every thought, every word. Why don't you ask God to search you and know you? Search you and know you. There's another one there. It says, try me. Oh God, try me. That says, test me. That says, put me to the trial. That says, God, bring me into circumstances. Try me. And know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Every time a trial comes up and God lets me see my thoughts, I see there is much wickedness in me. Any man or woman, boy or girl, tried by God, will see his own sin. And David cries, oh God, try me. Oh God, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. I'm afraid that all of our good is stained with evil. Everything we desire to do, even that which we do to serve God, is tainted with sin, pride, and the wickedness of our own heart. There's not a sermon that can be preached but what there's pride within the preacher. There's not a witness that can be given but what there's pride there within the believer. There's not a circumstance, a prayer answered, a victory, a battle won, but what there's pride there. We must ever be on guard against and ever see and ever recognize and know just how wicked we are. Because our natural man cannot live before God, therefore God reckoned it dead. What a wicked thing we are. How little we know of ourselves if we can take confidence within ourselves. Search me. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And last he says, lead me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Oh God, don't give me up. Oh God, don't set me aside. Oh God, keep working with me. Oh God, search me. Don't leave a part of my being untouched. Oh God, try me, test me. Put me through the circumstances. Bring me. Make me to know my wickedness, if there be any wicked way into me. Bring it to me. And then, oh God, lead me on in the way everlasting. Don't leave me alone. Lead me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Heavenly Father, such knowledge is too wonderful for us. It is for me. Oh God, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh God, how precious are Thy thoughts unto me. Help each person here to take this psalm personal today. Then, dear Lord, search me and know me. Try me, my thoughts and my wickedness, and lead me in the way everlasting. I pray this for every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise.